In Pittsburgh today, funerals are being held for three more of Saturday's 11 shooting victims. Yesterday, President Trump came to pay his respects despite some local officials asking him to wait until after the services. He was welcomed by some, but the family of shooting victim, 71-year-old Daniel Stein, declined a visit with the president because, as a nephew said of the president's comments about how the shooting might not have happened had there been an armed security guard. And the president encountered several hundred protesters, including Squirrel Hill resident Reverend Susan Rothenberg.
You are not welcome on my street. These are my neighbors that were killed. You are not welcome in Squirrel Hill.
President Trump said he couldn't hear the protesters. Tonight in Florida, Trump begins his final campaign push of 11 rallies in the next 6 days before the midterm elections. Our political strategists are with us now. Jamal Simmons, Democrat and host at Hill TV. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. And John Brabender, Republican strategist. Hi, John.
Hello.
So we'll talk about what happened in Pittsburgh in just a moment. But I want to first talk about the midterms because they are just a few days away. And House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi was on the CBS Late Show last night with Stephen Colbert and made a prediction that Democrats will take the House on Tuesday. Here she is.
Please don't say that. Do you want to say that on Hillary's fireworks barge that she canceled?
Okay. Let's ask each of you. Jamal, do you agree or disagree that the Democrats are going to take the House?
I'm a little bit like Colbert, thinking that we should knock on some wood here. But every indicator light here points to a Democratic victory. The question is how big that victory will be. I am still one who thinks there will be new things, like not just the House, but also some governor's mansions and some state legislatures that we cannot predict that will turn out in Democrats' favor.
John?
Well, first of all, on the Republican side, if we could get Nancy Pelosi on all the stations all day long, we're all for it, because it seems to fire up our base at least quite a bit. But look, historically, we know that whether it's a Republican or Democrat president, 2 years into their term, the other party does well. I think there's no reason to believe that history is not going to repeat itself. The question is to what level. I do think that the House majority is certainly in play. I would not be terribly shocked if the Democrats won the majority. On the other hand, I do think the Democrats are going to lose seats in the Senate. And so it's going to result in a sort of mixed control of government. And what that's going to result is even more gridlock than we've ever seen in recent history. And I think we're going to see the House particularly decide that their real goal in life is to be a thorn in the side of the president.
Well, we're going to take a look at some of those Senate races you mentioned, John. But Jamal said, you know, anything could happen. And, boy, we've seen in the last 2 weeks it can. You know, 2 weeks ago, we were seeing the Republican rebound after the Kavanaugh hearings. Then in the last week, we've seen a pipe bomb mail campaign from a Trump supporter, a shooting, a targeting of blacks by a white man in Louisville, Kentucky, a slaughter of Jews at a synagogue. On Fox News Monday night, President Trump referred to the 2015 Charleston, South Carolina church shooting. This is when, we remember, the white supremacist Dylann Roof slaughtered the black congregants. And the president said the media is now unfairly blaming him for the current violence.
They didn't do that with President Obama, with the church, the horrible situation with the church. They didn't do that. They put my name in the headlines.
John Brabender, is that a little bit of tone deafness? I mean, you know, the Charleston shooter was motivated by racial hatred. He would have shot President Obama if he'd been in that church. He wasn't at all motivated by him.
Well, but look, I do think we are cherry picking here. I mean, nobody sat there and said, my gosh, it was a Bernie Sanders supporter that shot Steve Scalise.
Oh, yes, they had. And then,
therefore,
oh, yes, they did.
This is all Bernie Sanders'
fault. But they did. They did. And Bernie Sanders immediately stood up and said and disavowed the violence, whereas President Trump really hasn't.
Look, the president had. The fact that he did go to Pittsburgh, and by the way, I actually lived in Squirrel Hill for a number of years. A good friend of mine's brothers were both killed in that shooting. And, you know, I see the criticism that the president showed up for funerals. And I just am perplexed by this, because what that symbolizes is that this wasn't just a Pittsburgh tragedy. This was a national tragedy that we should all stand up together and be unified in talking about the abhorrent shooting. And the best way to do that is for a president of the United States to actually show up, be there, and show his sympathy. And yet we see a lot of Democrats criticizing him for going. And we all know if he didn't go, they would be just as loud criticizing, saying, oh, my gosh, he's turning the other way, not even caring enough to show up to go to Pittsburgh.
Well, John, first of all, my condolences to your friend. Yeah. I think that in his family, I think that this in all the families, I think that this is something that the president was asked, even by people who were comfortable with him coming in general, he was asked just to delay it a few days. The problem with the president, again, it's not the things, always the things that he does, but it's the tone that it is that he has. And it seems to somehow always circle back around to what's good for him, not what's good for the country. I am struck that when the pipe bombs were sent to all the people, Democrats and media and CNN a couple of weeks ago, that when that happened, the president didn't reach out to President Clinton and President Obama and say, Mr. President, I'm with you. I'm your guy. The country's with you. We're going to make sure you're protected.
We could have seen the assassination of two former presidents.
He should have called them, right? I remember very vividly in 9/11 when Bill Clinton was stuck somewhere and George W. Bush sent an Air Force jet to go get him and bring him back, because that's what you do in a moment of national crisis, is you reach out to your political opponents and you bring them together on behalf of the country.
Donald Trump
did not do that, John.
I was critical of this president when I thought he was silent after Charlottesville, where he did not stand up and say, look, racism is something we are not going to tolerate on any fashion. We have to stand up as one. This is a new, you know, he did not do that. He did not at least do that quick enough. And I was very critical of him.
He has not said to the white supremacists. In fact, when he said, I am a white nationalist. David Duke said, I'm a nationalist. David Duke said, great, he's a white nationalist.
But
president has to rebuke those people and say, I am not one of you.
Out.
I do not want your support. I do not want you to be involved. I don't want you to kill people. I don't want you to send bombs. I don't want you to attack synagogues. I don't want you to do anything in my name.
John.
He did immediately come out and stand up and say that, which showed to the nation where he is. But again, I see this cherry picking. I'll give you a good example. Steve King, congressman from Iowa, rightfully is under attack for some of his comments that could be perceived as racist. The head of the National Republican Congressional Committee came out and attacked him, even though that's a very important race for the majority of the House. Yet last night at a debate, Senator Joe Donnelly in Indiana came out with comments that could only be seen and perceived as extremely racist. Yet I have not seen anybody on the Democrat.
Let me come in there for a second, because I've been reading this story about Joe Donnelly last night, and what he said is, our state director is Indian American, but he does an amazing job. Our director of all constituent services, she's African American, but she does an even more incredible job than you could ever imagine. It isn't their race or their religion. It's the incredible person that they are. I get how you could see that, the but there, and I want to ask you, Jamal, about that. At the same time, in the context of everything that President Trump has said, calling people animals, making comments that are in my view, I mean, I don't know. Jamal, what do you think?
I think Senator Donnelly was a little tone deaf with his language, and he should be admonished for that. At the same time, the point of his statement was to give credit and honor to the people who he was working with. The point of Donald Trump's statements, when he talks about the caravan coming up from the South and sending 5,000 troops to the border for something that's not even a crisis, to do that, the point is to stoke fear in the American public and, frankly, to stoke racial animus. And that is the thing that we cannot ignore. So I don't say Donald Trump is responsible for the attack of the synagogue or for the pipe bombs. But now he knows what will occur when he sets the tone that he sets. Everything he has done since then will be his responsibility, because he knows what can happen with the words that he uses.
We just want to make sure that we've noted. I mentioned we were going to look at a Senate race, and there are Democrats who are distancing themselves from other Democrats. Let's take a look at that Missouri Senate race. You've got Claire McCaskill up against State Attorney General Josh Hawley. Here is McCaskill on Fox News explaining why she's running those radio ads, and she talks about the crazy Democrats. Let's listen.
Crazy Democrats are people who walk in restaurants and scream in elected officials' faces. We have a state senator here in Missouri that actually advocated for the assassination of President Trump. That's a crazy Democrat.
Jamal, there are many Republican voters and Trump supporters who are seeing groups of people protesting, going into restaurants, kind of verbally assaulting people. And they are feeling beleaguered and they are feeling under attack. Are Democrats, you know,
they are such snowflakes. They have stood up in
which
the
is
public
a
square
conservative
and they have
board,
declared
yeah.
themselves candidates or been elected to public office. And because constituents come up to them and complain about the problem that they see in the country and their complicity, they are upset. That has nothing to do. Someone yelling at you at dinner is not commiserate with someone sending a pipe bomb to you in the mail or attacking a synagogue.
And John, some would
it's
say these people
the
are
thing.
John, look, some people would say these people are inaccessible any other way.
Yeah. Well, look, I think anybody that shows up for a protest at an appropriate place is a great American. They're taking their American right and their First Amendment right, and they're doing something about it. To start physically and verbally accosting
people
when they are in private space.
Not physically.
Oh, there has been many cases where it has been.
Who's touched someone?
Trump supporters have been beaten a lot of different places. I'm starting to wonder if some foreign agent, and I say this in jest, but some foreign agent has put something in the water where we've all gone crazy.
Okay.
I don't think this is a Democrat or
we'll leave it at that.
Or Republican.